The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Fat Femme Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio and Dr. John Paul, LLC. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Black Fat Femme Podcast, where all the intersections of identity are celebrated. I am one of your hosts, John, also known as Dr. John Paul. And I don't know about y'all, but today I am tickled and filled with glee, because if you do not know, the Choco Taco is back in production. Last week we mourned the Knott's cookies, but this week we are in celebration. When we pray, our prayers are answered. When I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and how he set me free, I can dance all night. I can't even have a Choco Taco because of my A1Cs, but I'm celebrating that for everybody else who can. How are you, Mama Bear?
Won't he do it every day? When the news dropped, I immediately thought of my good sister here. I was like, Choco Taco is back. Oh my God, I don't know where to find it or where to get it at, but I was like, I thought of you, so know that you were on my mind. So
I appreciate this is,
and then John has asked for. But I will say, what a plot twist, and what a cynical plot twist that it came back and you can't have it. I'm actually really mad for you about this. I'm like,
I mean, I could.
So we will make sure that one day you will. Okay.
But do I really want to be on?
No one said you can.
Right.
But
I'm like, do I really want to be on the Peloton like that? Do I really want to be poking my finger trying to make sure that my numbers are right? No. So I'm just going ahead and not eat it.
When the A1C is A1 right, bitch, the first thing I'm going to do is like, here's your Choco Taco. I got you.
Right.
Fam is Jordan. Hey, Kim and Joe, if you're nasty, and I really cannot believe this is Black History Month. Black History Month is almost over. Thank God we got an extra day, because I'm going to need it. But I'm also going to need white Jesus to stop making time move so fast.
Yeah.
Because why do we have the shortest month? And this month is longer for us. But like, now it's just on par with other months. And we deserve more than this.
Yeah.
Like, because all month long, someone says something foul to me, or just being like not even like actually bad, but just like remotely like, inconvenient. I'm like, on Black History Month.
Yeah.
To a black person.
Well,
you know, that to me, I'm
right. But we are going
in my house. Am I in my black home?
Right. No. In my black home.
No.
But I was going to say we are going to move right into Women's History Month. So I would say that who we are, we could be like, oh, it's Women's History Month, and I'm non-binary, so move.
And black women make history every day.
Yes.
Okay.
I know.
I see you.
Right.
I see you.
All right. Well, this week we have an amazing guest with us. And I have said on so many different iterations and different forms and different spaces and places that the first girl and the first doll who ever checked me and told me to get my shit together was this guest. And I am forever grateful for it because really just since that day and since our first meeting, I've always known that this person had it. I didn't know what that it was, but I knew that they had it. And I am just so forever grateful for how they've changed my life and how they continue to keep me, how they continue to hold me accountable for all of the work that needs to be done and get done in this world. So with that being said, today in our third seed, we have someone who is not afraid, in my opinion, to tell it like your T.I. is. And for many reasons, that is one of the many reasons why I love this person. They are the CEO and HBIC of TransTech Social Enterprises.
Come on.
You have seen her on several shows, including the Primetime Emmy Award nominated Her Story, Claws, Transparent, Framing Agnes, and more. She is the first transgender woman to secure two series regular roles, both on FX series Pose and American Horror Story. And now,
okay.
You see what I did there? And now she is the host of her own podcast called No Opportunity Wasted. Please give it up for the amazing Angelica Ross. How are you, baby?
I am just blessed and highly favored. I do want to make one quick correction, though. I used to be the CEO of TransTech. I am the founder, so that's never going to change.
Okay, yeah.
That is never going to change.
I know that's
right. Okay.
But we do have our new executive director, EC Pizarro III, who has... don't quote me now because it's been so long. I think it's been like 3 years now. It could have been more because it's just... time flying. I'm getting old, my memory ain't what it used to be, but I just know that, we are still pressing on for our mission, to take up space for trans folks to be able to take up space in not only the tech industry, but just the job market in general. Continuing to find more allies amongst corporate corporations, community organizations, celebrities, whatever we can to sort of like expand our mission. So we've got our Trans Tech Summit coming up this March. It's been going on since 2020. Our first year was at the Groupon headquarters in Chicago. That's where EC, who's our current executive director, that's where he started volunteering with us and is now the executive director. So it's been such a nice journey to build something and watch it grow over 10 years. It's about to be our 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. I appreciate. I will say, I know that I presented in 2021, and it was one of the most engaging, and it was also very much it was a beautiful day. It was very nice to be able to meet so many people who are in the same mind of like, I think Travell says this all the time, you can't be what you can't see.
Absolutely.
And so it was really nice to be in the space together with people who genuinely are doing the work and who are helping to make the space and the opportunities for others to be able to come in and do the work too. So
absolutely. Yes. And so now I'm headed to New York tomorrow to be celebrated by Time Magazine and their new closers list. It's 18 Black and Brown folks who have been working to close the wealth gap. Issa Rae is on the cover, and there's a beautiful new headshot of me, in Time Magazine.
That is amazing.
It's great to finally be kind of celebrated for work in the sense that we are about to celebrate our 10-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, I'm pretty sure this is the first time I've been acknowledged by Time Magazine, and so what I realize is a lot of times when you're doing the work, I know I heard Shirley Ralph and Tracy Ross talk about these things about, you don't always get the awards in the thick of everything that you're mm-hmm. doing. And it's just sometimes this yeah. accumulation of your work, and you might not ever get the recognition. And so, you know, I don't do this for the awards and the applause, but it's nice when you get it.
You know what? And it's funny because 2 weeks ago we was talking about that on the show. So it is totally, it's so timely that you mentioned that. And I would say to those who are listening who have the power to give people their flowers and give people awards, especially marginalized folks who are out here, you know, pretty much carrying so much on their shoulders, give them their flowers. It is nothing to stop and say, you know what, let's nominate this person for something, or let's give them something for, you know, just to say, we see you persisting. We see you getting over in a system that's not built for you. So right. many congratulations. I mean, hearing Thank that, right.
Truly,
I truly believe.
Mazel upon mazel.
Yes. Mazel, mazel. Like,
mazel upon mazel. Thank you. Yes.
Good people get good things. Makes me so happy. So.
We are so, and we're so excited to celebrate you in this episode, and to also get more into all the things that you do. But for now, we're going to kick off the show like we always do by giving praise to our girl, Miss Tisha Campbell, in our opening segment, Still Here. And to show that we are all still here, we want to know from you, just to kick off with a little kiki, what's one or some of your favorite moments in Black history?
Oh, my goodness. For me, I think it was in Living Color. As someone who is known to be more of your improv type actor, where, you know, give me a script or not, I'm a carry. Yeah. And so, you know, we're growing up and watching Living Color. It was the Wayans family, you know, with the Jamaicans and all the jobs, with Bonita Betrayal, but you ain't heard this from me, with Men on Films. You know, there was so much that I learned from watching them and growing up, not only about how to be naturally sort of funny and kind of improv, but I think that it also is such a marker for us always about where we were around queerness and transness, and you know, just being able to still to see the growth is one of my favorite things, of seeing how far we've come.
Yeah, I think, you know, so it's funny because they all, when you talk about people who don't get enough praise, I think, you know, there are so many careers that were made from that show, and I think that there's still so many actors and actresses who genuinely, I think, you know, for instance, I just watched a clip of, I don't know, like for me, it will always be kind of one of my favorite Black history moments is the time when, you know, Fox had all of the Black shows lined up. So there used to be Martin, and then Living Single would come on, and then you had New York Undercover. And I know for myself, seeing it was always what I loved specifically at that time was when actors from other shows would randomly guest on other shows. And so, like, I remember seeing David Alan Greer on Martin, right? There were so many episodes when David Alan Greer were coming in to play the pastor, right? And I just think about the comedy.
Also, Tommy Davidson, when Tommy he's a fool. Like, he would just be such a, but to see them do that, it would be hilarious.
Yeah, it was just such a key, and it was such a moment when so many people I'd say in general in acting and in the acting world, literally just, you know, were always kind of in their head of funny, right? They were in their bag, and they were in their head around being funny. Absolutely adore it. Do you have any Black history moments that you wanted to recall, Joho, before we move on?
Oh, me? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, you know, I wasn't prepared for this one. You know, the ones that we discussed in our episode, but just I think one thing I think a lot about, I was listening to Black People Love Paramore in the episode with Kellen Allen. They were talking about Kaylin, right?
Yeah,
Kaylin. Thank you. Kaylin Allen. Thank you. I'm putting respect on his name. They're talking about the Chia girls, but they're really getting into Raven Simone. And just talk about, like, how That's a Raven, like, was just such a, was like, there will never be a show like that, right? Especially if that was one for youth and young kids. And that, to me, that show is like a great, piece of Black history, especially because of the time where, like, a lot of kids shows were really diverse and really Black focused and really, really good. Like, it was really good TV, but also, like, just like Raven Simone herself as an actress, like comedic timing, like powerful storylines, like a great character. Like there just does no one else like her. And I truly think that she is somebody who does not get the flowers that she deserves.
Yeah.
And I really just like, I just love her so much. And I've listened to her new podcast with her wife, Raven, and I think Raven and Miranda. And it's just, yeah, I think that show itself is like cemented for me in like my own Black history, especially because like it's based in San Francisco, which is like part of the Bay, which I love and from. So
right.
It's just such a special moment. Yeah. I will never not think of, but also her being such a pivotal person in like my own upbringing, and like me feeling seen in that family or being seen in that show, it's something that will carry with me forever. Yeah. So yeah,
and I want to shout out too, when you talk about That's So Raven, even thinking about My Brother and Me, I don't know why that show just jumped in my head, but that I grew up on that show too. And so like, you want to talk about Black families and comedy and, you know, like hit me, like all of that is so like, I don't know any. Actually, it's funny because I was in the store and I saw that they have now on you can buy it on Blu-ray, and I was like, for years I had been looking for it, and I was like, wow, I was like, I didn't even know it was on Blu-ray to buy. But all that to be said, like, just so many. And you speak about Tisha Campbell, right, and Martin, and just even her being on the show and her comedic timing. Like, she's another person who
genius.
I think, yes, yeah. just her, yeah. Tashina Arnold, everybody, yes. in the game, like from the what I like to call the Black heydays of comedy.
Yeah,
like they set the precipice of what comedy is now, and we speak all of their names. But with that being said, we already it's that time. We got to pay some bills, but when we get back, we are going to chat more with the amazing Angelica Ross about why certain celebrities can't seem to keep our names out of their mouth. We'll be back in a sec.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine. And I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, y'all. So welcome back. Welcome back. This week, we wanted to chat and kiki with our girl Angelica about a topic that I feel like we've touched on, but we've never really dived into, which we tend to do around here a lot. Specifically thinking about the ways that Black cis men can't seem to keep our names out of their mouths. So we've skirted around the topic and really thinking about kind of this notion of, you know, the whole idea of why straight people seem to constantly always be fixated on LGBTQ topics, but we've never zeroed in on the Black straight. And I put straight in quotations because even that can be.
I was going to say, first we got to start at the place where straight is a social construct.
Right. We would have put straight within quotations. And it's funny because, and I know we're probably going to get emails for this, but I don't care. I was laughing because someone had tweeted out last night. I saw a tweet right before I went to bed where someone was basically saying, so let's start off and talk about why your boyfriend is bisexual, sis. Good morning. And I was like, wait, what? It's so there's a whole conversation around that. But what we're really here to talk about, right?
Yes.
Is really thinking about how LGBTQ people and LGBTQ issues seem to always be in the heads of certain people, right? So I would be remiss if I didn't mention the years that Boosie has gone after Lil Nas X, right? And then you have the multiple shows where it's kind of like Dave Chappelle seems to just randomly mention us, and it's like we NeNe Leakes. Now why am I in it? Like literally just kind of like you didn't even like it's just so random. But right, but I did want to say that I think that some of these tangents are intentional, and it is, and that they are pushing something that's much deeper and much more insidious. And so with that being said, I kind of wanted to ask that question to you, because I know that you've mentioned this in several different iterations, right? Why does it seem that straight people always are obsessed with LGBTQ people?
Probably for the same reason white people are obsessed with Black people.
Black people. Say that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I could unpack that. So, yeah.
No, it's real.
Yes.
I mean, you know, so there's levels to it where there is a liberation and a freedom that they can't seem to claim for themselves. Mm-hmm. The world has told them that in order to succeed and get theirs, they have to play by certain rules. They have to pull up their pants. They have to have an education. They have to do X, Y, and Z, you know. And so when they see folks like us kind of breaking outside those barriers, regardless of what the consequences are, you know, it goes from a space of condemning us and saying, see, this is why you can't live a great life, because you are living that sinful life. And then when we get down to the facts that actually, no, it's an oppressive system that is built against anybody other than straight white folks. And when we start to address that that system and remove some of the barriers that have been in the way for queer and trans people to access anything.
Right.
Now that we are able to access things, and now some of us got homes, some of us got cars, some of us got jobs, you know, and some of us are still working at it or whatever, just like everybody else. And I think that is shaking them up a little bit, because one, what they've been told is kind of unraveling before their eyes.
And then
also to speak on a spiritual space, like as a Buddhist, you know, I have been introduced, thankfully, to an understanding of if you want to change your environment, you first need to change yourself.
Right, right.
And so to understand what that whole concept is, and that's just one of the phrases, but in essence, what we end up doing every day, every morning and every night is we chant to our scroll, this thing that we chant to. But in essence, it's a spiritual mirror that reflects to us without lies, without filters, what our real life condition is going on, what our desires are, if we truly want that, or is it just something that society says I should want? All of these different things so that we see ourselves clearly and we see our environment and others clearly. Yeah. To understand that this is a spiritual practice is to understand that there are a lot of people walking around who are unclear about their own about their own value. They're unclear, and so they're projecting so much of what they understand onto other people and onto the world, and don't understand that the way they see the world or what they see in the world is actually in a reflection of their internal world.
Yeah.
And so folks like yourself, queer folks, trans folks, whatever, when I go out in public and all the different things, I don't even have to have a stitch of makeup on. When they see me, they're like, oh my God, Angelica Ross. Oh my God, you are just so beautiful and you are smart. You're so strong and the X, Y, and Z. What I teach those folks and everybody else is that all you are seeing when I walk into the world is a polished mirror.
Right.
You are you are seeing your reflection. If you can even see me and see that.
Yeah.
But those who say they see me and get sick to their stomachs, and they see me and feel anger, or all of a sudden this vitriol starts to come up. What I realize, ooh, I'm polished. I walked into an environment, and you that came up out of you.
You, yeah.
I didn't bring that to the situation. So,
what
I see with Dave Chappelle, what I see with all of these folks, is they are struggling with their reflection of blackness that is that doesn't even include them to be able to be fully liberated, because if they were able to, then as an artist, the whole thing about being an artist is being able to actually give way to the feminine and masculine side of yourself so you can just express.
That's real.
And they're blocked up. They're blocked up.
Yeah, well, that part too, right? A lot of them need to drink more water. But what I was going to say is that I wanted to shout out Stephen Brodsky, a psychologist who specializes in OCD, for coining homosexual OCD. And it's this notion too around straight men who are obsessed with LGBTQ people and are and basically the community and all of the different ways that we show up as people. And I wanted to say this before we move on. I think it's really good to hear you say that, because I think oftentimes we are so quick to we internalize a lot of the stuff that we see and a lot of the stuff that happened to us or that we even hear, and to be able to hear someone say, again, that's not me, that's the work you need to do over there, I think it takes a lot of the stress off of us to feel like, why are we constantly being targeted, right? Like, why are we being targeted? And when you start to realize,
I have to also say, like, it's not just that, it's also just as we've experienced white lash. What we are experiencing is a sort of cis lash where black men, since the civil rights movement, have failed to lead.
Right.
Meaning, they, if you ask them, they are the ones who have been God ordained to be leaders of the black family unit and the black community. But we still have not crossed that line of liberation.
Still where we are. Yep.
So many black men see liberation as capitalistic success, as financial success, and not actual freedom for women to actually have freedom outside of their control, to not have queer people have freedom outside of their control. So what you are also seeing here is that our true liberation is coming from queer and trans people, queer black and trans people. We're the ones who are at every Black Lives Matter rally, as well as us standing up for all, and even when it comes to, all of the intersections of social justice, you're realizing that whether it was Bayard Rustin, whether it was, there's so many of Marsha P. Johnson. Like, there's so many of us who have James Baldwin, Audre Lorde. There's so many. I mean, there's so many of us who are queer politics have been what has been the key to set us free. And I think what is really eating the girls up, it's eating them up that their keys are not working. Keys that were handed down to them, but I don't know if they haven't heard. Those are the master's keys.
Right, right.
I was gonna say, like, they're trying to get into the wrong house in the first place. Yes. Like, they don't even know where they're going.
And I've said this, a lot of folks don't want liberation, they want privilege. And that's what that's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. A lot of them just want that privilege.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, I love, Angelica, I love so much that you said what you said, because that's something I think about all the time when folks say, oh, I'm this, oh, I'm that. Like, to me, all I think about is I'm actually just about the affection of you. Like, we're all pieces of each other. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, if we're all going to see ourselves in the image of the divine, the divine image, like, we're all pieces of this God, and we are all, like, we're all godly ourselves and parts of God. God themselves. So I really appreciate you saying that. And I am, it's made me think so much about, like, my mind is just racing with so many different thoughts. I'm going to shift a little bit the question I had planned, because I know we have a lot of accomplices who listen to the show as well too. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious of maybe tools you might be able to offer them to begin unpacking that. Cause I think the point about, especially when you said about like interrogating one's own blackness as well too, or like finding a discomfort with it. Cause I think you hit the nail on the head of the divine feminine is something that will lead us to freedom in ways that people don't expect, because it is the most attuned to, like, what the spiritual connection is. Like, mm-hmm. I think as queer and trans people, and I've said this before on the show, as queer and trans people, we're the most innately attuned to the higher being and presence, and that's what's going to lead us to some, you know, to something different, something better. So how can folks and accomplices who listen to the show, how can they begin like unpacking, I won't say their biases more than just their bias, like, right, like, bias is taught, but it's more of like, and I think what they're expecting is taught to them, but also, like, how do they unpack themselves to, like, deconstruct their own discomfort with who they are and what they see queerness, what they see divine feminine, where they can unpack their masculinity, where they can unpack their ties to capitalism. Like, what are the tools there that people can use to hone themselves, to be more expansive in themselves?
I think one thing, when we talk about accomplices and we talk about folks who want to be better and do better, what I think needs to be pointed out is that in our Buddhist practice, we focus on winning moment by moment. And in order to do that, it takes an awareness moment to moment. So we have to let go of these ideas that a label of an ally or that you are an accomplice is a one and done thing. And you know, you don't ever have to do anything more. Because again, the magic word is accountability.
Yeah.
And I think I've been pretty much prophesizing this coin for a minute now, with accountability being the admission price for community. And so you have to be willing to offer that accountability moment by moment. And if you prioritize your own feelings of feeling like one of the good ones and needing us to pat you on the back, then you are already in this for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And so what I think is, you have to be willing to constantly be willing to be called into question. And what I feel like has been a misstep of not just our accomplices, but our leaders, is that, especially our Democratic leaders, is that they're not leading in good faith of offering the people a open lane of questioning. I want to constantly be held accountable to what I say I am and what I say I'm going to do. So if you are really about that life, then you will you will be endlessly open to accountability, to question,
right,
and to critique. Because I was just talking to Marianne Williamson, and she's an interview that is going to come out on my podcast. And it was a great interview. You know, I love Marianne Williamson for all the beautiful things that she's contributed. But I also, you know, had to challenge her in various ways, a part of the conversation, but at least in this one, because she's like, oh, I've never been ableist. And I'm like, listen, like, I hear you, but you got to let go of that need to want to have lay claim to that, because the reality is you can't really know that for sure. I mean, right. And don't get me wrong, like Marianne Williamson, I know that she's fairly aware of so many abilities, you know what I mean? And so I would see that she might be better than most, but you know, it was even a conversation I had with T.S. Madison once when there was like this whole kerfuffle in the internet about when Samson McCormick was being, you know, transphobic or whatever. And then was like pointing to T.S. Madison. It's like, see, this is my friend. She's saying the same thing, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and I had a conversation with T.S. Madison and other folks to understand that. Understand, I, Angelica Ross, have been transphobic.
Right.
I, trans people, period. We go through this space of transition, and as soon as we get to the mirror after we wake up, damn, my voice, my shoulders, my neck, my this, my arms, my veins, all these judgments about being trans, even the internal things when we talk about Bob the Builder as like a funny thing internally, but we don't realize we're being transphobic internally, you know?
Yeah.
So it's this thing of letting go of the judgment because and understanding that the world is constantly judging Black, queer, and trans folks, so you can stand to be judged for a moment in just a sense of to at least get through the moment of realizing you're actually not being judged. You're actually being called into accountability and given an opportunity to do better.
And I think to your point, Angelica, I think that that's one of the things that I wish. So for instance, right, I don't want to keep mentioning Dave's name, but I really wish that folks like Dave or folks in the media who have been transphobic would own up and say, oh, you know what? I did fuck up. I did say this really fucked up transphobic or, you know, like, and I think it's so easy to do. I think it's so easy to take accountability. And I think that that's a part of, you know, when we have these conversations where we're kind of shining a light on the injustices or the issues that are out there, that's initially what we're saying is that you, again, kind of going back to my point about saying folks want privilege, folks are so kind of caught up and so dead set on keeping this idea of I'm above that or I'm better than that, instead of actually saying, you know what? No, I'm imperfect just like everybody else. And I may fuck up or I may say or do something that's going to harm someone. And it's frustration because I think what makes me so frustrated in a lot of this is what folks don't really see. And like you said, to the idea of being an accomplice who won't own up to the things that they are doing that could be harmful, we are setting a precipice for other people to go out and do the same thing and find or make room for justification, right?
And we talk about an accomplice. Let's be real. Let's be real. Yeah. An accomplice got dirt on their hands.
Right, right.
And an accomplice, you know, got into the, gets mixy. So what most, a lot of accomplices that I think that, you know, consider themselves accomplices are really just accomplices to Dave Chappelle and his movement and his rhetoric.
Right.
Because they're not disrupting. They're laughing along in the audience. They're sharing the clips. They're doing something. So there's I know a spectrum of people who make concessions for Dave Chappelle, make excuses for Dave Chappelle. And here's the situation. Let me just be clear. Let me be clear to you about something. We do not need LGBTQ people, queer people, even Black people when it comes to whiteness and all this stuff. It is not our job. We don't even have to waste our time holding anyone accountable to their, you know, homophobia, transphobia. The only people we need to do that with are the people who have keys in the system to our liberation. Those are the folks we need to deal with. Everybody else, everybody else we can bypass, because what I know is this, is Dave Chappelle's personal beliefs about trans people and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not stopping my life. It's not stopping things. But what I know is that I am a disruptor, and those who are going to be accomplices with me when they hear, see transphobia, when they're in the environments, they're going to disrupt that. And if they don't disrupt it, just understand this. I don't need to condemn you, but I don't trust you.
Amen. Amen.
So that's all that is. It's a listen, cancel culture. This no. Listen, do whatever y'all want to do. Say whatever you want to say. I'm going to speak truth to power. Some of y'all don't got the power. You don't got enough power to do nothing in my life. I'm going to the people with power. You can say whatever you want to, because I feel it.
And I was going to say that's kind of the next part of the question I was going to ask, or kind of to continue to move forward this conversation. I think for me, I've always said, I think it is so interesting that so many people have so much to say on Black, specifically Black queer people, and no one has ever had any relationships with Black queer people. Right? You've never had me at your house. You've never sat down and broke bread with me. You've never, like, or you'll say, oh, I know trans people, and you've only met one or two people, right? Like, you don't have anyone in your inner circle or in your inner workings that are close enough to you to pull you in and say, yo, you're fucking up out there, right? Like, what you said or what you're doing out there. And so I think for me, you know, I think one of the bigger frustrations, I guess the question I would ask you is, like, how do you, and especially in this industry, and I say this industry openly, because it's like, it's not just podcasting, it's not just acting, it's like the industry is the industry, right? How do you deal with the obtuseness that comes from people, right, around our identities and our experiences, and the idea of folks being basically parroting what white people do? Oh, I have a Black friend, so I can't be racist, right? I know queer and trans people. I can't be transphobic. And it's like, how do you deal with that obtuseness that comes? Like, what advice would you give for folks who may be kind of exhausted by that?
What I can say is this: I have evolved. I have transitioned from a place of being bothered to a place of being completely unbothered. And I mean completely unbothered. And the reason why I say that is because I really wish, but you know, it's not my mission, it's not my ministry, but I really wish that people could read between the lines. I wish that they could see through smoke screens. But you know, to each his own. So what I know is this, is that everybody has to build their own barometer of of trust, barometer of intuition, and a barometer of bullshit, basically. And so for me, I know real allies. I know real accomplices. I know what they look like. They don't even have to actually tell me about it or speak, because they are so mixy. They are in it. Like, they're so in it. It's like they be, it's like they're a photo bomb, meaning like they're always in it. Like, I don't even have to question. Other folks basically come around when it's trendy.
Yeah.
They speak up when it's trendy. And they are there for photo ops, you know, Laverne Cox, you know, T.S. Madison, folks like that that I love, also have become photo ops or symbols of, see, I'm not transphobic, because and you, as I said, with Samson McCormick or other folks, Jason Lee, you know, they're all kind of problematic people who point to other folks as like, see, I'm good. But so all I'm saying is those type of folks cannot be trusted.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Like, don't dis. It's almost like what we learned coming up as Black people, what we learned coming up. Like, our mamas, our families told us, now you're the fool if you now ever got bamboozled to think that a white person wasn't going to come up and be white on any any given day. So you got to expect that kind of stuff. So to expect cis people to be transphobic, homophobic, to do all this because we ourselves were also groomed that way and use that own stuff against us. So if we are only just unlearning it and unpacking it, they are still doing it too. And so most of them cannot be trusted, period.
Well, I mean, I'm also big on this idea of, so this is what I was going to say this earlier, but I'm glad that we waited and then we'll go into your last question, Joho. But I was going to say, one of the things that has really been real for me is when I see people posting things or when I see people who see this stuff come across our timelines and they don't say anything about it, that to your point, right? You're telling me, and I love that you say this, you are telling me that you cannot be trusted. And I love that because I think we need to start talking more about that instead of being focused on what they are saying and how we live in their head rent free. We need to start looking at the people that we love and that we know and saying, you're not saying anything about what they're saying and what they're doing. That tells me that I can't trust you because that means that you're complicit, you know?
Well, let's build a little grace into it. And so this is what I'll say, because I know right now I'm experiencing various things because I might be experiencing a certain oppression, right? From the industry, because the industry is like, who the hell do you think you are to speak up and buck out to the system or what have you? But then the reality is that people who don't have, let's say, the most power in the system are still playing their part in the system by continually to help erase me from the picture, in the sense of, we see there's an algorithm, we see there's all these things that are going on, and yet I'm here always speaking truth to power and doing those things. So it's going to be up to us, just like when Ava DuVernay did her movie with Origin, knowing that she had to do it outside of a system that wasn't going to support that message because that was a little bit too much heat for the white people, and yet here we are, we as black folks have to come in like drones. And I'm not saying in ways of always supporting stuff when it's bad, because that's another conversation, but I don't support mediocre black art sold to us as excellence. That I don't do. But when it comes to our black stars and everything, what I want to build grace in and say is that I see you. And I see that you see that there is not enough of a constituency. There is not enough of a group built together for you to risk your black privilege in Hollywood that is very, in a world that's ruled by white supremacy. The thing that the secret that folks don't understand is even the people who you think got it and are so successful, white supremacy can take it away anytime they want to. Folks know that, even Beyonce. They play in even Beyonce's face. So to understand this is to give some grace for the fact that our brothers and sisters didn't create the system.
Right.
And so it might be difficult, just like Issa Rae talked about in a recent interview. She talked about I could hold you accountable or do these things, but at what cost, you know, or what have you. But the thing is understanding that if you see this as not just you paying the cost, and if we were able to create a better front, but the reality is we don't have that front because Hollywood is a system of pick-me's. And let me just pause for a second, because I know that was a shot fired and I know that folks might have caught astray. But what I mean by that is that it's casting. And so, you can be in an industry that is a pick-me industry without being a pick-me. And so the reality is that there are black people who are still getting into positions and turning their cheeks and turning their eyes and closing their eyes and not saying things, not speaking up, in order to maintain position or in order to continue to get picked.
Amen.
So understand that I'm recognizing both things, and that what I'm telling you is that I could have made a choice too.
Mm-hmm.
I could have made a choice. Yeah. I made a very conscious choice. So understand that I know that I made a choice. I know the consequences that come along with my choice, and I am going to deal with those consequences. But those who understand what the system is, then I invite you to support my journey into strengthening my own platform and my own spotlight outside of Hollywood. It's not necessary, but I welcome, you know, the folks to do so. But just know that I recognize that you are making a choice, and just know that every choice has its consequences. Amen. Every choice has its effects.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Mm. Mm.
It's less judgment. Do you know what I mean? It's less judgment.
No, I get it. I get it.
No, it's such a grown way of seeing it. Like, truly, like, okay, come on. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, because it really is just framing it as,
right.
I see you where you were at, and I don't have to be there with you, and I don't want to be there with you, but I see you where you're at, and like, work. Like,
and also know that you can't be trusted in the movement.
Because you are
identifying yourself as someone who will choose their own comfort and position over liberation of all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, in hearing that, right? Like, I think people might hear that and be like, you can't trust me. Like, you have to reckon with that yourself then, because that's not on me to help you get there with. You have to, me saying I don't trust you is not saying I don't like you.
Exactly.
Just I don't trust you. I can like and love you.
Exactly.
But I just can't trust you right now. And like,
baby, let me tell you
that's
something.
That's also okay.
I have so many relationships, Hollywood relationships, that when I tell you I finally got to a place of enlightenment with, because I thought I was building camaraderie with Black celebs who understood what it meant to be coming from the margins into the mainstream. But when I realized what a lot of that was, then I was like, okay, I can still love and enjoy the art and the things that you do. I do not trust you though.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Just, you know, in the words of Dominique Morgan, you can eat, but you can just go ahead and go eat over there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't mind you eating. Yes! I love that you remember that.
Absolutely.
That is.
I won't make you a plate, but
right.
you
can take it to go.
In the other house. You can take it to go, yes. Okay, so for the last question, I want to get into a little bit into authentic storytelling. So these last few years, we have seen a rise in diverse stories being told, but they aren't always true to life, at least in they might always be true to life. We see shows and episodes specifically about trans folks, but mainly experiences of harm and hurt to the ones that we watch or have to consume, and not always the experiences of joy or their joy wrapped up and bound into some trauma part of it too. How, in your thoughts and perspective, how do we change this? How do we make space for our stories to just feel normal and not inherently sad or even like inherently exceptional?
Okay. Word of the day is divest. So, and the word of, well, let's say this, the concept of the day is divest and reinvest. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we have to divest from white systems, basically, and really divest from systems that are also, I would say, spinoffs of white supremacy. Some of those systems I would consider to be like the NAACP and things like that. And the reason why I say that is because, shot fire.
I'm but still like, working on how to, I'm still working on my facial expressions. Folks who are watching on YouTube, you minds got big because I said, "Oh, she named him."
What I love is that Kendrick Sampson kind of like recently did like a thread, kind of like explaining a sort of the history of the NAACP and their sort of position so closely adjacent to being a part of the establishment and not really rooted in our true liberation. Mm. So it's no wonder why they weren't celebrating queerness when Moonlight came out. They couldn't even, I would remember when watching it on TV and I was upset at the monologues that were just given by the host because I was like, y'all can't even give Moonlight his flowers from the chest on the stage. And it's and other awards have already given them their flowers. So in order to do this, queer people too, listen to me closely. Mm-hmm. It ain't just Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the City Girls. Yeah. Sometimes it's Nicki Minaj. Mm-hmm. Listen. I know. Listen, y'all can come at me all you want to.
No.
What I'm saying to you is this. We have invested in so many folks who have been the worst allies. Mm-hmm. And some who have been doing okay and blah, 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 who have grown or whatever. But what I'm saying is when people show themselves to be problematic and they're not truly invested in the full picture of liberation, not just for queer people, but for women also.
Yeah.
Like as queer people, we stand at the center for all the things. So we can't stand for internalized misogyny and patriarchy and all these different things or whatever. And so when we are in a world where technology has flattened the world, where I can listen to a Palestinian artist or a queer artist, or I can listen to Seven Deep, a queer rapper, or I can listen to, there's so many choices other than homophobic ones. So I don't have to listen to DaBaby. I don't have to listen to Boosie. I don't have to listen to these things. So I think it is up to us to divest our dollars from, it's just like with that system, I think it's called BDS, or it's like a website or something where you can kind of,
BDS movement, boycott, divestment, sanction movement.
Where we kind of learn who to divest from and boycott because they're not standing in the right space. We as queer and trans people have power, and we can use that power by removing our power from those who are not who we've granted power to in ways, who have taken it for granted, who give us crumbs and we say thank you for the crumbs. There's more situations I can go into, but I'm not really trying to get dragged like that. So what I'm trying to say is that we say thank you for the smallest crumbs, and what we need to do is cancel the Zeus subscription. I don't have one, never had one. But what I'm saying is HD10, I think Corey Knott is someone who is an independent filmmaker. You know, myself, Ian Patrick, you know, Cheryl Dunier, Ava DuVernay, you know, like there's lots of queer. And we know these folks are queer, you know, whether they're shouting it to the hilltops or different things or whatever. But so the way that they tell these stories, I want us to be able to embrace what it means to be queer, you know, because I really was not there. I'm like, queer, who the hell is you calling queer? You know, but once I really got to that and understanding how it is such a revolution to be queer and to see things from a queer lens that is not even just about sexuality or sexual orientation. You know what I mean? So it's about expression. So I think that in order for us to change this, we have got to be the investors in our own liberation. And when we see those are taking our power and our community for granted, we need to hold them accountable to that. And what I mean by hold them accountable is it's not about canceling. It's like saying, hold up, wait, we need to just check this real quick. You said you would never want your kids to be gay. Can we check this real quick? Because either you are in with us or you're not. So no Tino shade, but I just want to check this one thing and hold it accountable so we can just know if you on with us or not.
That is the gist of what we were getting at. I think the reality is all of us, and I think this is what I'm taking away from this in particular conversation, all of us have a responsibility to do something, like all of us. And it doesn't matter who, you know, it doesn't matter how you identify, it doesn't matter where you are, whatever. We all have to do something in order to make sure that we're protecting everyone, right? Like
you're right, we all have the responsibility, right, to take the responsibility. So what I say is responsibility is the ability to respond. So everyone has to develop and to remove this out of an ableist space. It's not just about a verbal response.
Right.
How are you responding to what's going on? Is your body in the streets? Is your voice out there? Is it whatever it is, but you can figure out. Actually, it's a calling right now. Because history books will tell it. They'll tell it. And they'll tell, were you one of the people who had a response to this time, or did you stick your head in the sand?
Yeah. All right. Well, with that being said, I know that we need to take a break, and this has been an amazing conversation. We just gonna ask, can you go stick around with us just a little bit?
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, a daily podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Every weekday, we bring you conversations with the culture makers who inspire us.
Like our recent episode with Hollywood royalty Regina and Raina King. We talked about the creative power of women's relationships.
I feel like, thank God for women, like, especially when it comes to Black women, the way we lean on our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, our friends. We're just each other's pulse. I mean, it's molecular, you know?
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a little bit longer. Okay. All right, baby. Well, with that being said, thank you, Angelica. We're gonna take a quick break, but when we get back, we're gonna get back to some how you healing. More in a sec.
All right, so we want to take some time to chat a little bit more with our girl Angelica, because we all know the past few weeks we have seen so many terrible things happen politically. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't want to spend this whole segment talking about what's happening in politics, because we would be here for weeks and weeks on end with it. We are sure that you are exhausted since announcing you want to be more involved in politics. Mm-hmm. And so we want to ask, how does one engage in politics while actually taking care of themselves? We know this is something that we are seeing with other names like Jarrett Hill and Keith Boykin. But how do you engage without stepping on your own needs for self-care and mental health?
That's a great question. Right now, to be honest, launching this podcast, No Opportunity Wasted, has been quite a serendipitous blessing, in the sense that, you know, in Buddhism, we believe that getting to that place of sort of happy, believing that everybody can be happy, mm-hmm. and kind of addressing the issues that there's a lot of discord. And mm-hmm. we believe that a lot of that can be addressed through talking to each other, through dialogue, through having profound dialogue mm-hmm. with one another and actually listening. And so not only am I having dialogue with, you know, the people who are rolling up their sleeves and mm-hmm. doing the best that they can with a very challenging environment, but I'm also talking to folks like Kim Jackson, who is a senator here in Georgia, or, you know, various politicians who are looking to get into the race, but also educating myself about the lay of the land here in Georgia. Mm-hmm. I believe I have a very good idea of what's going on and what's happening. And I will say this. The personal is political. So mm-hmm. let's start mm-hmm. there. So there's mm-hmm. a lot of people who talk about the fact that they're not into politics, or they don't do politics or whatever. That's all just BS anyway, because it mm-hmm. is what it is. But it's just like, okay, but sure. But your personal is political. So everything personal about you is politicized, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to know that is to know that so many of our leaders and political figures get caught up because mm-hmm. they can't be the same person in every room.
Right.
They can't say the same things in every room. And Amen. They can't, and they're not, you know, and listen, here go another shot fire. I'm sorry. I don't mean to, because this is all for whatever. This is all for the greater good.
Okay.
But yeah. Seeing folks like my brother, you know, Andrew Gillum now on his podcast, it's wonderful to see him in this space. But to see someone, again, go into a space of being a representative, but having something that someone can hold over your head because you're not being open and honest. Maybe you are with your wife and with, you know, whoever else or whatever, but you're not being open and honest with the people about it. And yes. and let's be clear. You want to represent the people, but you're not representing yourself. When bisexuality and LGBTQ issues are on the ballots, especially in Florida, mm-hmm. you know, so like it's just mm-hmm. I think an egotistical thing and an egregious thing mm. for folks to step into spaces of representation without being yeah. able to fully represent themselves. Mm. So what I'm doing here mm. is making sure that the voters, especially here in Georgia, know who they what I want you to know who mm. you're gonna be voting for and what you're gonna be getting into, because I'm going to tell you that yes, I inhaled several times, and what I'm going to tell you is that I am someone who has experienced gained privilege, mm-hmm. but I'm not sold on some fallacy of 40 acres and a mule just because land is cheaper or more accessible here in Atlanta. Yeah. When we have the marijuana laws being what they are, if you're not a Black person with certain privilege to be behind a gated community and not be policed as much, then you're not as free as Rick Ross or as any of us that got these houses, you know what I'm saying, like here.
Right,
so
right.
I'm going to tell y'all up front. Yep, I sometimes smoke weed. Now, let me just tell you this. I don't smoke weed as much as I used to.
Right.
And that's only because I have certain things that I'm doing, whether it's a singing career, whether it's certain things I'm doing where that's just not as conductive for what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But for mental health reasons, still, if I have general anxiety disorder, I have a few things. And if I decide for myself to medicate myself, that's not a criminal thing. That's a health issue. Amen. And so I want to get us to, as if I'm going to get into politics again, it's not going to be like everybody else. It ain't going to be your daddy's politics. It ain't going to be your mama's politics. It's going to be a new wave and a new breed of things that, you know, in essence, in my body, I'm going to be independent. Yes, I'm going to have to probably ride along with the Democrats, but I'm going to be shaking the table the whole time up in there, because the Democrats, to me, are more conservative, are really conservatives in disguise, are Republicans in disguise, a lot of them. And a lot of times there's a lot of Black people, again, whether it's the NAACP, whether it's Hollywood, whether it's corporate, whether it's corporate America, or whether it's politics. You got Black people who have risen to a certain status, and now they are the establishment. They are part of, they are an arm of the establishment. And so everything that I'm talking about, a lot of what I'm talking about is shaking their table too, not just the table of white supremacy, is shaking their table too. And they're not going to be happy about that. So what I know is that I need the people to not only see me, but to trust me, trust that I'm not going to tell you one thing and do another once I get into office.
Ooh. You were speaking truth to power so much with us. Thank you is yes. if you watch YouTube, you're seeing our faces like, but like I'm not gonna stop you because like you aren't saying lies, you saying truth.
So somebody's got to say it and do it. Somebody.
And I
the fact that I am fighting for my bodily autonomy as a trans woman. And fighting for your bodily autonomy too, no matter how you identify, especially as cis women who are under these anti-abortion laws and regulations. I'm fighting for both of us. And so what we have to realize is that as this Black person, Black trans person, I'm fighting for all of us, but we have to realize we got Black folks in there that aren't. That just aren't. They're not fighting. They're fighting more for police than for the people who are being policed, than our communities that are being policed. We don't need Cop City. We need a different response to our communities. We need people who can be first responders to mental health crises, to drug issues, to domestic issues, to whatever. But like, we don't need more police tactics that are mixed in with IDF sort of sponsored tools.
That's real.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I never thought I'd take my three young kids to Sicily to solve a century-old mystery, but that's what I'm doing in my new podcast, The Sicilian Inheritance. Join us as we travel thousands of miles on the beautiful and crazy island of Sicily, as I trace my roots back through a mystery for the ages and untangle clues within my family's origin story, which is morphed like a game of telephone through the generations. Was our family matriarch killed in a land deal gone wrong? Or was it by the Sicilian mafia? A lover's quarrel? Or was she, as my father believed, a witch? Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all, we gotta take one more break to fight off our protesters now outside outside these doors.
Lord.
But we will fight them off. We're gonna take a break and we come back in just a moment with our with your first segment, y'all. Yes, ma'am, and no ma'am, Pam. So back in just a sec.
All right. So we are going to go ahead and jump into our yes ma'ams and our no ma'am pams for the week. And I wanted to start off with quickly saying, so I don't have a specific yes ma'am this week, but my yes ma'am is kind of a collective and an open one for everybody. I wanted to shout out anyone and everyone who was giving something up in order to keep something. And what I mean by that is I know a yes. lot of us are giving up. We've had to give up relationships. We've had to give up jobs. We've had to give up opportunities that we thought were going to benefit us, right? In order for us to keep ourselves. And I say that because partly for me, I was going to say, this thought came for me when I was thinking to myself, why I couldn't have a donut? I said, my God, I had to give up donuts so I can live. You know,
my condolences.
Yes, I know. I'm just saying, like, it's such a big thought that came from something so petty and so silly. But I was going to say, like, I think about, it got me to thinking, like, even thinking of your story, right? You know, Angelica, mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. in order for you to be able to kind of keep yourself, right, and be able to ground yourself. And I even think about me sometimes, right? Sometimes I'll tweet out stuff and I'll know before I tweet it out. I'm like, oh, this is probably going to end up fucking me over eventually, right? But it needs to be said. I'm going to say it anyway. Mm-hmm. I think about that a lot. There are so many of us who are giving up opportunities and things because they're going, I don't want to lose me. I don't want to lose my family. I don't want to lose all of this stuff that I've worked so hard to attain in order to be able to, you know, get to X. So I just wanted to quickly say that however y'all take that is how y'all take it, but I really love it. On the other side of that, I wanted to say my no man Pam are people who like to pocket watch. And what I mean by
baby.
That is, my money ain't your money. Your money ain't my money. So why are we talking about money? Like, why are you worried about what anyone does with their money? And I think about this a lot because I say, like, I've said this in so many different iterations, not only on the mic, but also on social. I have said we never watch white cis men the way that we watch everybody else with what they're spending and what they're doing with their money. My thing is as long as I'm not asking you to borrow money, why are you worried about what I spend my money on? My bills are paid. And I've said this and I'm going to say it very loudly again on the mic. What I have, everything I have, I can afford. I just want to make sure that everybody knows that. I don't, Nothing you see is bought on credit, okay? I have multiple credit cards. I have a very good credit score. But nothing you see me purchase is something I cannot afford. I just want you all to, I want to be very clear on that. So don't, it's not even about me. I just see, that's why I brought it up. I see so many people pocket watching people. You know,
I mean, we're in a space where, you know, it's what do you call it? It's like crabs in a barrel. It's the scarcity model.
Yeah.
You know, because mm-hmm. like again, it's the judgment and wanting to, it's just a lot of reflection and projection.
I felt the need to just say that very loudly. Everything you see that I have, I can't afford. And as long as I'm not hitting up you to put money in my Venmo, worry about yours. Baby.
No GoFundMe here, right?
Yes, there's no GoFundMe here, baby. And it's not to say that I'm shaming anybody who needs a GoFundMe.
Not at all. But what you're saying is that you not sitting out here spending and then the next day up with a GoFundMe, right?
Hello.
Yeah. Okay.
I know my accountant keeps me accountable. I want you to say my accountant keeps me accountable.
Your ability to account, okay, is accounting. Yes.
Now, Miss Ross, what are your yes ma'ams and your no ma'am pams?
Well, I'll say my yes ma'am pam is to speaking out. Shout out to Cat Williams, Monique, you know, all the folks who are speaking up. Listen, they may not be perfect characters, but what I know is that as Black people, we have been groomed in a culture of silence.
Yep.
It's just not helping us. And what I think that folks need to be willing to do is that we have to understand that we've been living under the assumption that everything has to be so punitive. When we talk about, you know, law enforcement, all these different things or whatever, everything doesn't have to be so punitive.
Yeah.
So we can live in our truth and own our truth, even when it's bad, even when it's wrong. And, you know, and I see, you know, folks like Monique, you know, who probably very boldly, loudly talk about, you know, being a bad mother, you know, being, you know, having friendly pussy, you know, you might have to beep that out,
you know,
but like, that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, but like, we don't have but you know, it's I think it's a rare space for people to be in. And I know that this is what I have run into with dating and the various things is because I live so much in truth, even when it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
People are so used to when something bad happens, wanting to be in a power position to now condemn, judge, and drag someone. But if someone is sitting there prostrating themselves and saying, this is what I've done and I'm working on myself and this is just one of my this is what something I'm working on, not just the way I am, but this is I fucked up or this is what I did bad and blah, blah, blah. It's hard to drag somebody who's coming to the table and being conscious about what they're doing. Right. So I think we need to, in order to even try to remove out of that what people are afraid of, cancel culture or being dragged or whatever, you don't got to be worried about that if you're willing to call yourself into question and to be honest about your strengths and weaknesses and your shortcomings. Like, it's okay. We all fall short. So I love seeing more moments of people speaking up and speaking, being authentic and transparent about what they are going through. Where I would say no, ma'am, Pam, is, you know, it's election season right now. And my no, ma'am, Pam is two-sided. For those who are saying they're not going to vote at all, no, ma'am, Pam.
Yeah.
No, ma'am, Pam.
Thank
no
you.
No, ma'am, Pam.
Thank you.
But on the other side of that no, ma'am, Pam is the folks who are shaming folks who are saying they're not going to vote, who are unsure who they're going to vote for, or who are having issue giving
my
their
husband about this,
or,
yeah,
or who are having issue giving their vote to Joe Biden when Joe Biden's Joe Biden's actions, not our Joe Biden's actions, are going against our own moral code of what we have. And you know, I saw on MSNBC this white man talking about how Trump is going to be terrible for America, and you know how to warn us about Trump. But in the same breath, him saying that he cannot, though, in good conscience, vote for Joe Biden, you know, his, because it goes against his moral code. And I just thought to myself, how white? Because only somebody who their life might not change one way or another if that happens. Mm-hmm. But myself, I want to stand on business too when it comes to my vote. I want to say hell no, I'm not voting for Joe Biden because of X, Y, and Z. But I know when it gets to the ballot box, and if it's between them two, then I'm going to do my civic duty and I'm going to use my power to be counted, at least to stop that from happening. Right. But I don't have the privilege. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody listening to this, maybe you feel you do exercise that privilege, fine. But what I'm saying is my no ma'am is removing yourself from the conversation altogether.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to put it out there. You know, I understand, you know, and I don't like the lesser of two evils conversation either. But what I will say is that there are a lot of people's rights and livelihoods on the line. If and when we get past March 5th, there will be a lot of people who will have some decisions to make. And I'm hoping people make the right
decisions. Especially Arab Americans. You know, amen. I feel my heart goes out to Arab Americans who see a whole conversation be skewed to, you know, where something started off from the beginning calling folks children of darkness and that there were no good people, there are no civilians. So if we're starting from that place and America is backing that place and it is also full of Arab Americans, Muslims, you know, all kind of folks, again, what the situation is, we just because I vote for him doesn't mean that I like Biden, that I whatever, or that I even trust him.
Right.
Because at this point, I'm with the Arab Americans, everybody else. He's not to be trusted to me. Yeah. He's not to be trusted. But in this election, this broken system that we have currently right now, this is what we got to do. In the meantime, we got to talk to the no labels folks who have been working over 14 years to build a third party. We got to go over and start talking to them and be like, hey, listen, how can we help? How can we like really get this going in all this space? Because it's about time.
How do we get you some aid? I was going to say, a lot of y'all don't like y'all boss, but you still show up to work every day. So
hello. Everybody paying a price, baby.
Right. We all got a cost. What about you, Mama Joho?
Well, first, I mean, I just want to say I'm not excited that it's election season, but I look forward to election season because it's something that I feel like I'm in one of my most impactful moments. Like I always go through like the measures that are on the ballot for California for my city, and like just do my best to educate folks, because I think to your point, Angelica, when we shame others for not voting without giving them educational tools to understand what they're voting for, like we actually know better, and we're actually doing more harm. And so for me, I look forward to taking the moment and the time to like go through these measures and share my thoughts on them. And I always tell folks, like, don't have me be the person to tell you what to vote for. I'm just telling you what I think about these things. Use this as your jump off point and you go do your own research. But like I'd be remiss to not talk to you about how I may be interpreting this or the way I understand this and how it might affect us here. And so I look forward to doing that. I think the same, like I think so many folks get it twisted, like that if we are going to be down to this, like to this binary vote of these two folks, that voting for Biden would mean that we support him. I mean, I always see it as like, do you really trust any
hello
political leader? Hello. Like find me a government or political leader that I can trust.
But there are some people out here doing the most. Like I see some folks out here like giving these glowing talks about Biden as it, and I'm just like, now come on, are we in the same country?
I'm like, he's just a white man.
He's done good things, but let's be real.
He has done good things. He has more good things than the last person who was here. And like there is so much more that we can do. And so I just, for folks who are thinking about voting, like don't put all your eggs in one basket. My yes ma'am Pam first is gonna go really to just our guest, Miss Angelica Ross. One because it is important for us to give flowers to people while they are still here and to lay them at their feet. And I'm really inspired by Ryan Michelle Bath, who gave us flowers on her Instagram Live of the day. And it really is a great reminder of to tell people like while you still can, while they're in front of your face, how much you care about them, respect them, and also are inspired by them. Angelica, I really cannot put into probably like great words how inspired I am by you and by the work that you do and who you are and the way that you have continually stood up to speak out, even at the cost to have whatever cost it is, and for you to say the price I pay is worth it to stand up for who I am and what I believe in for all of us too. And that is really just so beautiful and so impactful. Your point about trust in this episode has been that I'm going to take with me for so much. I've been thinking about that a lot myself, and having you like speak it and give it breath and life has just been so special and beautiful. Your body of work, like your body of work in film and television, your body of work in politics, your body of work in the tech space. I was just watching, not tech related, but I was watching the series finale of the show, sort of. And when I saw you on the screen, I like me and my roommate were like, "Wait, hold up,
I don't know who it is."
It was also so special because to see you in that, right? Especially as someone who has seen like so many of your other roles be rooted in like pain, to see this role be rooted in so much like love, respect, and support, like, was just so beautiful and so powerful. And I was like, there's nothing she can't do, y'all. There's nothing she can't do. So really, I have to give you your flowers and say yes, ma'am, Pam, to you. And also, like, yes, ma'am, Pam, for you taking the time to be with us today. You, like, choices, right? You can be like, no, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna show up. Like, I'm not gonna be here for this. Like, you said yes, and it really means a lot that you gave us the time of you, your time and your energy. I know it's important, and I know it's valuable.
Thank you.
So thank you for giving that to us today. I'm so appreciative for that. My no, ma'am, Pam, it's silly, but just anybody inconveniencing Black folks during this month, especially, like, don't inconvenience us, period, anytime. But during this month, I constantly, someone cut me in line yesterday at the farmers market, and I truly, with my full chest, says, on Black History Month, you gonna cut me, girl? About History Month. And I was here first with my scout. And she was so gooped and gagged. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
It's Black History Month. Do not cut me in line. You saw me right here in line, sis. Like,
yes.
Don't inconvenience me anytime, but especially on this month, on my month.
In
my city, at my
I
scout
was
stand,
in
I don't
a very similar
same.
Situation. And this person cut me in front of me, and I just screamed, well, fuck my drag. And she turned around and I said, bitch, you just cut me. Like, it, yes, I have been, I get it. He marched down again.
And watch your word
this
choices.
Week to become a month. And you out here cutting me? Okay. Yes. All right. Yeah.
And watch your word choices because someone recently to me was like, this had me in shackles. I said, shackles? On Black History Month? Shackles? Or someone said, hey Jordan, do you want to a escape room?
I
said, my ancestors on both sides have escaped a lot.
No.
I refuse. I just made this dumbass game. Not Black History Month. No, not for me, sis, but thank you. So no ma'am to all you hoes out here inconveniencing us with your words
ma'am,
and your life choices. Don't do us that.
Absolutely not. We got a week and a half left. Absolutely not. I'm wishing everybody out the way. All right, y'all. Well, with that being said, please send us your thoughts, feedback, and email to blackfatfempod@gmail.com. You can also send us your thoughts via social media by interacting with our posts on Instagram and Twitter by using the handle BlackFatFemPod. Queen Joho, where can the dolls find you? Well, actually, we'll start with Angelica because she's the guest.
Yes.
And then we'll
Thank
go ahead.
You.
Joho, I'm sorry. Angelica, where can the dolls find you, baby?
Yes.
Well, you can find me on Instagram and pretty much all the things at Angelica Ross. But check out the No Opportunity Wasted. You can find us at Now Angelica Podcast on Instagram. That's and missross.com. You know, I'm always so blessed that I even own that domain name, but missross.com.
I know that's right. Yes, what about you, Mama Bear? Yes. Queen Joho, where can the dolls find
well,
you?
Well, just before I do, Angela, could you also, just because you were the founder mm-hmm. of Transsexual, could you also just share a little bit more about it? Like share why it's significant for folks to support that queer and trans folks are seen as assets in the field and how listeners can support Transsexual as well.
Too, absolutely. Please. You know, as I said before, we have our Transsex Summit coming up in March. It'll be during the week of Trans Visibility. And, you know, basically trans tech is an online and an offline community of folks who are co-working, who are co-learning together to create solutions and understand that, you know, we need to support and uplift the most marginalized amongst us, Black, queer and trans folks, immigrants, you know, however many layers, we understand that our resources that we work so hard to build go towards the most marginalized in our community and helps every other person with one less layer of marginalization.
Thank you so much. My loves, you can find me at Joho Daniels across all socials, on my website, johodaniels.com, or at any big business asking for reparations. What I mean by that, I mean if I go to McDonald's and not McDonald's, because we don't like the them, but if I go to Taco Bell but if I go to Taco Bell and I say, hey, give me my bean burrito for free, please, because I'm Black. reparations, if I'm going to... if I'm going to Target and I say, give me my candle set because I'm Black, reparations, I'm going to do that as well. If I go to the bank saying, run me my coin because reparations, I'm Black, that's what I'm doing. Yes. Inconveniencing every place I can go to say, it's reparations month for me and all my people. So you're going to give us our shit back. Thank you very much. You will find me there.
Yes. I also want to say shout out to the doll. I went to Taco Bell earlier this week to get me one of them little, the little bowls, the little, the meat bowl.
Yes, baby.
And there was a whole kerfuffle in the drive-thru and baby gave it to me for free. So thank you. Shout out to the girls who were doing the work, who were saying, this ain't my stuff. I got time for this. Take this and get on. I appreciate you doing the Lord's work. As for me, you can find me on my couch after this, minding my business and eating my breakfast while watching the latest installment of Love is Blind, because I am a reality junkie too. I have a lot of thoughts about the folks that they've introduced, but I'm going to save those thoughts for when I actually finish it, because there's a lot that I already feel like is happening. But with that being said, you can find me at Dr. John Paul, or you can visit my website, www.drjohnpaul.com. We want to thank everyone over at iHeart for continuing to support this show. We want to thank our supervising producer, Rebecca Ramos and Bay Wang, for handling all of the logistics. And we want to thank our executive super producer, Anna Hosnia, for all that they do to continue to support us. We also want to shout out our wonderful editor, mix master, and video creator, Chris Rogers, because without them, there would be no show. That's it, baby.
Thank you
for listening. Stay Black, fat, fem, and fabulous. And remember, it's not your booty, it's your beauty. I love us for real. Bye.
Bye.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest
to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.